We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Scattered showers. Look for a high of 72. The wind from the north at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tonight cloudy with a chance of showers and a low of 57. The wind will be from the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow cloudy with a chance of showers. The high 70. The wind out of the northeast from 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night mostly cloudy with another chance of showers. We'll see a low in the upper 50s and a light northeast wind. Saturday, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers. The high 75, the wind light and from the east. Saturday night and Sunday, mostly cloudy. The low Saturday night in the upper 50s. The high Sunday in the upper 70s. Sunday night and Monday, partly cloudy with a low in the low 60s. The high Monday in the low 80s. And Monday night, mostly clear with a low in the low 60s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the upper 50s to the low 70s. Indiana reported clouds and some light rain. Eastern Illinois reported increasing cloudiness. Most locations in Illinois reported sunshine. At Rockford, it was 72. Chicago's O'Hare Airport checked in with 70 degrees. At Bloomington, 73. Mattoon, Carbondale, and Willard Airport reported 69 degrees. Willard reported a partly sunny sky, the dew point 50, the relative humidity 50%, the wind out of the north at 16 miles per hour with gusts to 26, and the barometric pressure 30.05 and steady. South Bend reported light rain, as did Lafayette. 60 degrees at South Bend at the top of the hour. Lafayette and Indianapolis, 61 degrees. Drizzle reported in Indianapolis. And at Terre Haute, it was cloudy and 62 degrees. At 12:39, 69 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois.
Today's programs are made possible by Champaign Cycle, 506 South Country Fair Drive in Champaign. With gas prices going higher, more people are looking at the bicycle as serious transportation to work or the store. Trek Ride Plus bicycles offer an electric boost to the rider's natural pedaling, allowing them to go farther with less effort.
As we near the 10-year anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks, teachers are talking about that history with their students. But as Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports, that's becoming more challenging as each year passes.
I remember 9/11 in shades of gray. I was a high school freshman, and I remember walking through the halls and hearing talk about a plane slamming into a skyscraper in New York City. In the school auditorium, two motivational speakers were scheduled to talk to us. They covered serious topics like sexual abuse and child safety, but mixed in jokey catchphrases to make us laugh. A few times, they paused whenever a new 9/11 detail came through. Later that day, someone showed up to one of my classes to tell a student that her mother, who worked in the World Trade Center, was safe. That night, my dad asked if I understood the gravity of the situation. I said I did. So that was 10 years ago. If that's all I remember from 9/11 as a high school freshman, what do today's high school freshmen remember?
My kindergarten teacher crying. Yeah, she was upset. She canceled class that day. We had to go in a different room.
I think I was actually like at the mall with my parents, and everybody at the mall just started like breaking down into tears and everything.
My dad was in New York, and he paid a taxi cab driver to take him out of there. That's pretty much it.
I think I was at my grandpa's, and they had a NASCAR race on, and my grandma started crying, and my mom was too.
And I remember nothing at all.
Those were the voices of Abby Foster, Devin Lane, Presley Fletcher, Trey Huckel, and Delaney Durst. They're all freshmen at Oakwood High School, right outside of Danville, and their social studies teacher, Jesse Johnson, doesn't want them to forget about 9/11.
September 11th. I don't even need to give you a title. That is its title. You guys know what happened that day, whether you remember it or not.
September 11th is one of the first areas Johnson covered for his class this year. He starts the discussion comparing it to a similar event.
So when Pearl Harbor happened, it was just the natural next step. We're going to go fight in World War II now. We knew it was Japan pretty much that did Pearl Harbor. We took a while to figure out exactly who was responsible for September 11th.
Johnson has included 9/11 in his curriculum ever since he started teaching 7 years ago. Covering it, he says, gets more difficult each year as students develop less of an emotional connection to the event.
Those of us that really remember living through it, I think that's the only way you can know what this is like is to have that kind of kick in the gut experience with it.
They've already started breaking the windows. They're panicking on that floor.
I understand, ma'am. This is between the best that we have. Okay.
The students are shown about 3 minutes of a documentary about the attacks. The entire class is motionless as they watch footage of people jumping from the towers. And then the second plane begins to approach.
Regardless, it's going to be so dangerous at that base, obviously.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
What?
Students at this age may not remember a whole lot about September 11th, but they can still be shaped by the attacks. Topper Steinman, who worked as a Champaign school counselor and teacher for many years, says sometimes a student has a close connection to a loved one who died as a result of the attacks or the wars in the Middle East. He says self-expression, which can include journal writing, can be effective in dealing with the emotional responses to 9/11.
Too often, I think, as educators, we set ourselves up to be experts, and I don't think in this realm where we're discussing probably more soft and subjective things, we necessarily have to have answers. I do think we have to give kids respect and a forum to talk about it or write about it, and respect what they talk and write about.
Steinman says educators need to go beyond the most basic details about 9/11 by talking about issues still relevant today, whether it's discrimination against Muslims, the balance between privacy and national security, or the ongoing military operations overseas. Understanding history, he says, will help younger generations create a world that's not simply a reflection of the past. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
9 years ago, a composer and University of Illinois alumnus was commissioned to remember the victims of the 9/11 attacks through song. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert reports on the journey Rene Clausen has taken with his work and how it is leading him back to New York City.
The Clausen composition, Memorial, was first performed by his own students, the Concordia Choir and Orchestra, as part of a 2003 choral convention. This recording was made at New York's Riverside Church that year, but the piece was first publicly done at Lincoln Center, where it returns this weekend. Clausen is the choral director and associate professor of music at Minnesota's Concordia College. He also holds master's and doctorate degrees from the U of I. In 2002, he was commissioned to write Memorial for the American Choral Directors Association. He says being asked to compose music about 9/11 was an honor, but sitting down and creating it was another issue.
I accepted it. I thought, you idiot.
Clausen says most compositions about dramatic events, like the Holocaust, are instrumental. But for this piece, there was little to go on when writing lyrics.
It's not like being asked to write a psalm setting or a requiem or a mass or something where you may find a pre-existent text that would serve that, you know, as a architecture of creating a piece.
The four movements of Memorial are performed without a break, but Clausen says each carries a different tone.
It paints the picture of the beautiful September morning and Debussy and light music, and then moves on to the music of destruction, which is quite graphic. You don't need to understand music to know what's happening.
The 25-minute composition moves from the destruction of the terrorist attacks to a movement aptly named Prayers. Clausen says the music evolved over a period of months, relying a lot on other languages, including Hebrew, Latin, and Arabic, to express a common theme.
All of those languages, which represent cultures who are literally at each other's necks and hate each other, they at the same time sing the words from Psalm 66, O God, shine your light on us, and we shall be healed.
In 2009, Clausen returned to the University of Illinois to lead the chorale, the local community choir, of which I'm a member, in a performance at Urbana's Wesley United Methodist Church. U of I graduate and Indiana University adjunct professor of music Jay Ivey served as the baritone soloist.
What strikes me most about the text is that it asks us to not have hatred. It asks God to cleanse us of our hatred and our malice towards those who have hurt us, which is a very difficult thing to do. And also it asks for forgiveness and mercy for our enemies. And I think that kind of a message is really the only way to come to true healing, and I think the music reflects that beautifully.
Perhaps the biggest challenge yet awaits a mixed chorus of 250 voices taking the stage at New York City's Lincoln Center this Sunday under Clausen's direction. It's there that University of New Mexico music professor Brad Ellingbow will also perform the baritone solo. He says the pressure will fade when a soloist believes in the text.
You know, in other words, it's not just a gig, something that you're doing because somebody's going to give you some money for it, but rather, oh no, I like this music, I believe in what this music is saying. And so therefore, I can get up and tell a story to the audience.
A New York concerts company arranged for the performance of Memorial, and a coordinator says that's inspired more performances worldwide. 9/11 anniversary concerts will feature the piece Sunday in 11 other sites, ranging from the United Kingdom and Honolulu to Normal, Illinois. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
For a list of cities and performances of Memorial, including the Illinois State University Choirs and Wind Symphony, online, visit globalsingforpeace.com or our community engagement website, willconnect.org.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 8th of September, 2011. It was on this day in 1504 that Michelangelo unveiled his sculpture, David. The project had been around for a while. It started with a block of marble more than 19 feet high. A sculptor named Duccio had a hand in it, tried to do the feet and the legs, and then another sculptor, Rossellino, tried and also gave up. The marble sat in a courtyard for a while. And then the church settled on awarding the commission to 26-year-old Michelangelo Buonarroti Simon, who was undaunted by it, even though the chunk of marble had the mistakes of the two previous sculptors already carved into it. Started sculpting in the fall of 1500.